Still morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Worship Him forever. I want to thank the church for allowing me, this old fella here. Is it on? Can you hear me?
No.
No. Well, the green light's on. The green light's on, so there you go. Okay. Good. I want to thank you for letting this old fella come and share some of my meditations and thoughts with you, and I hope some spiritual inspired illumination from the scripture, hopefully. And as I always say, you've got to be Bereans, because we're all flawed individuals, aren't we? I know I am. So you need to be like the Bereans and always check what the preacher tells you. The Bereans went back every day and they searched the scriptures daily, it says, to see that it was so what Paul and Silas preached to them. Let me pray. Shema Israel. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Baruch Hashem, Adonai Yeshua, Yamashiach. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your flesh. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Jesus the Messiah. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Let's lay some foundation scriptures. First of all, from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. A double L. All scripture. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and for the teaching of right living. And Psalm 119, verse 105, should all know this by heart. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now the title of my message, you might think it's a strange one. Do we really believe in the Bible? You may be really thinking that's a strange question to ask an evangelical church, but I'll ask it anyway, and not metaphorically. I want you to affirm it as I ask it again, if you really believe the Bible. Do you really believe the Bible? You want to affirm it? Hands up, all those who... Wow, that's the sort of response I would have expected. Praise the Lord. Now, we've been really blessed in this assembly to have young people like Nick Blackie and others who have come and declared evidentially the integrity of this book. But we are witnessing today, and especially in a particular doctrinal truth, which we will concentrate more on shortly, a falling away from biblical truth. And of course, there's always been fallings away, haven't there? There's always been apostasy. For 2,000 years, there's been apostasy. But Paul says something in the second book of Thessalonians, chapter 2 and verse 3. Paul tells of a future apostasy, a future falling away, which I believe is very contemporary for today. Paul is speaking of the return of Jesus to the Thessalonians, and he says, let no one deceive you, for that day, the return of Jesus, will not come unless the apostasy or the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Of course, we know as the Antichrist. And then he wrote a letter to his friend and protege and leader of the Ephesian church, Timothy, And in that first letter, chapter 4 and the first verse, he says this to Timothy, advising him. He says, now the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit says, expressly says. He doesn't just say, now the Spirit says. He says, the Holy Spirit expressly says. So we need to highlight that word, don't we? Expressly says. That in the last days, some, and that some doesn't mean a small amount, it's the word tis in Greek, which doesn't necessarily mean just a few. It says, some will depart from the faith, taking notice of deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, there's so much biblical doctrine today that's in danger, very much in danger. But I want to speak today of one particular doctrine, I believe, that has been targeted by deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. I'm not speaking of those that are just struggling with sinful habits or having crises of faith. We all have those struggles from time to time, don't we? But I'm speaking of those who, by their very words or actions or lack of actions, are deliberately disbelieving the scripture and still claiming to be born again believers. Now, I could mention the denial of hell. I could mention the denial of the Trinity or divinity of Jesus or the denial of the second coming or whatever. Myriads of other doctrines. But I want to concentrate on one doctrine that is causing havoc and division among churches worldwide. As if we haven't had enough havoc and division in the churches for 2,000 years. And as if we haven't had we've had all the havoc and division of the COVID so-called crisis, haven't we? Just sort of faded. And now we have this one. To explain the doctrine, I'll ask you another question, this time hypothetically. Do you really believe in the Abrahamic covenant? To me, this is the most important activated covenant promise. By that I mean a covenant that's in action right now, because there are still, of course, some prophetic covenant promises yet to be activated, and probably not until the millennium. Now, what does a covenant mean? Well, we all know that, I mean, it's still quite a common word, isn't it? Covenant. It's quite common in legal terms. It's certainly covenant in prominent in real estate terms. We often hear of there's a covenant on your property or this whatever. And what it simply means, it's a legal binding contract agreement. Historically and often biblically sealed in the blood of the participants. Biblically and historically, that is. Now, some of you might be thinking, I don't know much about the Abrahamic covenant. Well, you're not alone. Joan and I were having coffee with two friends just about, probably about a month ago. And they're two elderly gentlemen who have both lost their wives, lonely guys. And we often meet with them on a Saturday and have a cup of coffee with them. They're both believers. One goes to a Hope Church, I think it is. Yeah, a Hope Church. And the other goes to Spraydon Baptist. So, and they're elderly. They've been Christians for a long time. One of them told me that he actually helped lay some of the blocks on this building. And that's a long time ago. He's been a Christian a long time. We were speaking about what was going on in the world, especially around Israel. And I mentioned the Abrahamic covenant. Blank looks. Completely blank looks. Heard of it, yes. Don't know anything about it, really. So we talked about it for a while. So if you don't know much about the Abrahamic covenant, you're not alone. I want to look at God's word about the Abrahamic covenant. And as we go through these scriptures, there's quite a few of them. As we go through these scriptures, I want you to think about the themes that are in these scriptures. There are two main themes to these scriptures. So when we finish going through them, I hope you will see what the themes of the Abrahamic covenant is. First of all, we start, of course, with Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And, next bit. That's good. In you, important, in you, all the families or the nations of the earth shall be blessed." And chapter 13, I better put my glasses on here, because I didn't think I told my friend down there to put this one up. But in chapter 13, when Lot has just left Abraham, God says to Abraham, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and your descendants forever." Chapter 18 and verse 18. "Abraham shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him." Chapter 2 and verse 18. "In your seed, all the nations," seed, not with an S on it, "seed, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Genesis 26. Verse 4, the last part of verse 4, "I will give to your descendants all the lands, and in your seed," again, "all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." The last one in Genesis, Genesis chapter 28, verse 14, again, says, "And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." And then we go to Psalms 105, verses 7 to 11. "He is the Lord our God," the psalmist says. "His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 years. 1,000 generations, I should say. 1,000 generations. That means forever. "The covenant that he made with Abraham, his oath to Isaac, and confirms it to Jacob in a statute to Israel, for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance." So there you go. There's a couple of clear themes to the Abrahamic covenant. Agreed? Say amen. Have you picked them up? First of all, that the land of Canaan is an everlasting, forever, eternal possession to the physical descendants of Abraham, the Hebrew people, Jewish people. And secondly, which is so important for us, the gospel in the Abrahamic covenant, the promise of covenant blessing, of salvation through Abraham's seed to us Gentile nations. We as believers in the seed of Abraham are an integral part of the covenant promises to Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. I want to go to Galatians, the New Testament. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. This is what Paul says to the Galatians who were in danger of being deceived in all sorts of ways. In verse 13, it says, Messiah, speaking of the gospel here, Messiah has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree or is crucified. And then verse 14. So everyone that hangs on a tree is crucified, speaking of Jesus, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. And then, as if to clarify, he says, in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed, I know I'm pushing this point, Abraham and his seed, not with an S on it, seed, singular, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say seeds as of many, Paul says to the Galatians, but as of one. And then he quotes the Abrahamic covenant again, and to your seed, who is Jesus. He is the seed, Jesus. If this is true, all this, and I've gone to some pains, I think, to demonstrate that through Scripture, then why is it today that so many confessing Christians around the world are opposed to the Jewish people owning the land of Canaan? The Bible expressly says that to us as Christian people, that the natural descendants of Abraham are promised the land of Canaan as an everlasting, eternal, forever possession. There are some Christians around the world today, and you see them on social media or whatever, who are literally marching with the maniacs of Hamas, supporting them, yelling with them from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Wearing Palestinian scarves and flags, waving flags. And why is it that so many Christians sitting in our congregations still deny the right of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's descendants to the promised land? Why are many believing in the biased satanic media today? Look at this. Look at this. Doesn't this break your heart? And that's what it's meant to do, to break your heart. Now that was portrayed on the front of the New York Times, one of the largest newspapers in the world. 55 million followers on social media, the New York Times. They have about 5 websites. There is one website that only has 50,000 followers. That is supposed to appeal to your heart. This, can you show the next picture? That picture is the same woman and the same little child that is so badly affected. Now what happened was, the New York Times published this and a big front page story about how horrible the Israelis are to the Palestinians in Gaza. Right? I mean, that's just one sentence. There was a whole page virtually about it. That picture there is the same mother and the same child. What happened was the medical people, or I think there was some sort of Jewish lobby, threatened to sue the New York Times because this, they said, was a lie. What the Jewish lobby got was some information from the medical people who treated this young man, a young child, whether it was in Israel or in Gaza, I'm not quite sure, probably in Israel, maybe, I don't know. Official testimony to say that that child had a genetic condition, nothing to do with starvation. And if you look at that picture, you'll see that is absolutely true. The mother is certainly not malnourished. And look at the brother. Now, the New York Times didn't put that photo on their cover, in their headline. They put the other one. This is a lying, satanic, deceiving media today. They are following doctrines of demons. So why is it that people are so quick to believe the lie today? That's why the media, time and time again. I saw the most ridiculous thing on Friday night on one of the news channels, TV1 or TV3. It showed a reporter, or they call themselves reporters, he's not allowed in Gaza, but showed the pictures of what was happening just inside Gaza, where Israel and the United States were putting hundreds of trucks full of food. Full of food. I don't know whether any of you saw this, just it was on the news. There was hundreds of trucks full of food, and there was boxes full of food everywhere. There was enough food, and the journalist actually said this. He said there's enough food there to feed every Palestinian in Gaza for days. Enough food. And it's sitting there, rotting. Rotting. Because the United Nations would not distribute the food. Unbelievable. And he said that. But he was still in opposition to Israel. He was saying the truth, yet he was being deceived in himself. You understand? We don't have to support the politics of Israel. You don't have to support the governing and all that of Israel. So many times over the years I've been so opposed to what the Israeli governments do. But we must support the Abrahamic covenant. We must support the Abrahamic covenant. We must support the right of the Jewish people to inhabit the biblical land known in ancient times as Canaan. And I hope we have clearly seen that today stated in the scriptures. Do we really believe the Bible? If you are opposed to the Abrahamic covenant, you're opposed to your own salvation. Because that is an integral part of the Abrahamic covenant. Do we really believe the Bible? How do we apply this then? How do we apply what we've seen, hopefully scripturally, today? It's simple. Believe what God clearly states and support it, particularly in prayer. Friends, there is no famine in Gaza. It's a lie. You look at those kids. You see them just about every night. Hundreds of kids come with their containers. Have a look at those containers. They're usually very, very shiny stainless steel containers, or usually very newish looking enamel containers. And they lean over and they're waving them and going like this. Look at those children. Are they malnourished? Do they look like kids from the Sudan who really are malnourished? Where are the thousands coming out in the streets waving Sudanese flags saying, stop this horror that's going on in the Sudan? Where are they? They're not there. One commentator, Israeli commentator, says, Christian commentator, says, no Jews, no news. Where were the demonstrators just a few years ago, or just not long ago, when Assad was killing hundreds of thousands of his own people in Syria? Children. Where were they? They're not there. No Jews, no news. Doctrines of demons, deceiving spirits. We need to believe what God clearly states and support it, particularly in prayer. The last thing. If you believe, as many do who are sitting in churches today, that God has replaced Israel with the Gentile church, and all the promises, they say, that is made to Israel in this Abrahamic covenant now belong exclusively to the church. The majority around the world of Christian churches believe that. The majority believe that. If you believe in replacement theology, you are standing in direct opposition to the God of Israel. What a dangerous place to be. If you believe, as many do, you know, I mean, these sort of pictures appeal to our hearts. But look at everything closely. Examine everything closely. Most of it is lies. Today, many Christians believe, say this to themselves, why can't those Israelis cut a bit of their land off and give it to the Palestinians? What's the problem? Let them live side by side in peace and harmony. What happened on October the 7th, 2023? That's what would happen. You put that picture up? Not the one, the next one. That is a map of the Middle East. In red are all the Islamic countries in the Middle East. Look at it. Where is Israel? That little bit of blue there is Israel. And you want them to cut some of that little bit off that God has promised them as an everlasting, eternal possession? Christians want that to happen? Do you know how big Israel is? Do you know how big Canterbury is? Well, it's not as big as Canterbury. Israel is not as big as Canterbury. And yet, many want them to cut it in half. Or what they really want is to cut out the heart of Israel, which is Judea and Samaria, where these covenants were made. Deceiving spirits, you understand? What they want is the heart of Israel, not just a bit in Tel Aviv or a bit on the coast, but where Gaza is. They want the heart of Israel, Judea and Samaria. If you are in favor of a two-state solution, cutting it in half, you are in direct opposition to the God of Israel. In Joel chapter 3, the scripture says that God will bring those down into the valley of Jehoshaphat for judgment because they have scattered my people, Israel, all over the world, and have divided up my land. You were in direct opposition to the God of Israel. See, we cannot believe some of God's word, lastly. We cannot believe some of God's word and dismiss others. If God can break his covenant with the Hebrew people, he can break his covenant with you, because it's all part of the same covenant. Can you see that? Have you seen that today? That the Abrahamic covenant is made up of two major themes: the promise of the land to Israel and the promise of salvation to the Gentile nations through the seed who is Jesus. You know, the gospel was preached to Abraham. Paul says that in the book of Galatians. The gospel was preached to Abraham in that covenant promise. He won't do either. They are both part of the same everlasting covenant. Do we really believe the Bible, the Word of God? Oh, I pray so. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your Word. Lord, as we said at as we quoted the original foundation scriptures, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Lord, help us to believe it all. For Lord, your very word, you say, is above even your name. Amen.